This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's that time of the week again. The Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard, and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL Tour.
And another round is down, and we are back, Boxhead. What's doing?
We're back, yep. Another Cowboys-Broncos thriller, which was good, but we're not going to now see them until the finals, which is disappointing. They could go around every week, I reckon.
Absolutely outstanding game of football. The round in tow wasn't too bad. There was a few one-sided games.
You've got to be honest, I thought it was pretty ordinary.
Yeah, there was a few one-sided games. We're starting to see quite a divide. And
the pitch.
Got to that time of year that we're not a big fan of now. The sides get weakened and the short rounds. I'm not really a big fan of the short rounds. But and also, as a New South Welshman, we got the squad named. And there's a few random kind of things that seem to happen. A lot of people blowing up yesterday, either agreeing or disagreeing. No one's ever going to completely agree. But it all started for me simply when Dylan Walker was basically guaranteed a walk-up start as a utility. And then today, everyone's trying to justify his position and a few
Who's
people
trying to justify it?
Well, everyone on our page blew up by one bloke, and everyone's basically laid into him.
Blew up about what? The fact he was picked?
Yeah, and someone's defending
rightfully
it.
Rightfully so.
Saying he can cover the back line. Well, who cares?
You never pick a man on the bench to cover the back line.
Yeah, but you don't pick a man on the bench who's not a true utility.
Tell me one NRL side that picks a back on the bench.
But you don't pick a guy that's not a true
utility.
Can you
tell me one?
No, but he's not a true utility anyway.
The guy can't tackle.
Yeah, that's enough. Simple. That's your number one problem.
Simple. And but, he's what? So we're going to pick him as an outside back in Origin when he's playing 5'8" at club.
Yeah, but he's struggling at the moment to be a half. And
he's not a half. He's an outside back. I agree with that. But he's not playing in the outside backs.
Yeah, no. But even as an outside back, defence is your number one thing in Origin. He can't do that very well.
Correct.
And
it's ridiculous.
And
Laurie Daly.
So what? Is he covering nine as well, is he? He's never played hooker. And then someone floated fullback before. And
I have no idea.
They tried him at fullback and that didn't work either.
I have no idea.
He's a centre or a winger.
He's not even a solid first grader at the moment, I don't think.
I think he's a rep player at his best form a couple of years ago.
That's what I'm saying. He's not at his best form.
Even then, defensively, he still gets pushed off as a centre. With the ball, he's outstanding. But if that's your genuine utility...
He couldn't tackle you and you don't have any knees.
Nah, I'd run over him.
Exactly right.
I'd kill him. I'd land on him. It'd be game over.
Yeah.
But there's so many... Like, the one at the top of my head, and this is our big issue again, Lachlan Bickley, thanks. I didn't crash into a poll today, but I plan on doing it sometime this week, is Wade Graham. If you weren't going to pick him as a back row, which is ridiculous in the first place that he wasn't, you couldn't find a truer utility for your bench if you weren't going to pick a Cartwright or a Jack Burr. Any of these guys I would have picked as a utility before.
I'll go a step further. It's ridiculous that we're even considering him as a bench player. He should be the first man picked to start in the back line.
Yeah, he should be in the back row, you mean?
Corey Park, yeah. Oh, sorry, in the back row.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, him and Boyd Cordner for me are
the two. But I'm just summing up.
Locks in the back row.
If you're that spoiled for riches and you wanted him as a utility, which I still don't agree with.
But he's not a utility.
Yeah,
he's a back row.
Yeah, but he can play even for that spot, though.
He can. Last time he's played 5'8"? Or last time he's played...
He plays like a 5'8" on the edge.
No, but he plays on the edge. Like, pick him in what he does.
Yeah,
like,
but he can play...
Don't pick him based on and like what he does at club and then change what he does at Origin. That's the reason we're in this situation.
I'm just saying that. If you're telling me...
Just pick the players in positions and play them in positions. That they're playing at club.
We don't do that. And neither does Queensland.
It's ridiculous.
No. Blokes playing wing. Yeah, okay.
But for someone like Michael Morgan or Anthony Milford, I'm willing to make an exception to. No one else plays out of position.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy that played 50 games or so at 5'8", can play 5'8", can play in the middle as a lock, can play as a centre, can play as a... Nah, he played there in
a heartbeat. But pick him in your back row. He should be the first back row pick.
He
like, I'm not arguing with you based on the fact that he can do that. Like, that's fine, he can do that.
Scrap that.
But he shouldn't have to do that.
No, he shouldn't. But I'm saying to you, at the very least, the fact that the utility spot, if you can't even pick him there, which he should have been... That out of the utility options we have, Dylan Walker somehow is the first one.
Well, it shouldn't have been Dylan Walker. It should have been Tyrone Peachy. If you're going to pick one, pick a based on form, based on city country.
I got three others in front of him.
You could go Jack Bird.
I would have went Wade. I would have went Bryce. Or I would have went Jack Bird.
Well, Bryce Cartwright for me should have been inside, but he's got a broken thumb, so he was going to be out anyway. So I'm not. If I don't mention Bryce Cartwright, it's not because I think he should have been in the side, because I named him in my side last week. It's now because he's now injured. He would have been out anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm looking outside of that. Outside of that, I would have been happy to have Bird. I would have been happy to have Peachy. I don't think Bird's going that great, to be fair.
Jack
I think
Bird.
Peachy. Yeah, I don't think he's going that great.
I think people need to watch. I'd have Peachy. Closer. I think Jack Bird's been.
I'm watching it close enough, but. And again, as a utility...
Given the situation of what he...
Peachy's actually playing as a utility. He's covering multiple positions for his club. So I'd be more happy to pick him based on the fact that that's what he's doing at his club.
Yeah, but Bird's proven no different again. He played six all last year, did a good job. He could play back row. Yeah, I think he's doing a good job.
And I don't understand this hard-on that people have got for having a utility. If you pick your 13 right... Yeah, you never pick for injuries. You just load your bench up with forwards.
Well, again, that's why I have no problem. Why I don't understand how you've got, we can't like you say, have Wade Graham, or you can't have a Bryce Cartwright
anyway.
That's and right. Same as a Merrin. A Merrin gives you a tighter and edge option, and then you can load up with your forwards.
This is the problem, but what we do is
you have the versatility with a Bird who can move, and if you want backline coverage, you've already got it because you can push a back row.
What we do is pick a side and just mirror what bloody Queensland do.
We pick a side.
Oh, because Queensland's got a utility, we'll have a utility. This happened back with. Matt Bowen was the first real backline player they picked on the bench. We obviously had Craig Wing, who was a bit of a utility, but Craig Wing's form justified him being there.
Yeah, Craig Wing played in a side that dominated. Yeah, he was a gun player.
Bowen was really the first to be picked in that role, and then it sort of evolved from there. And ever since, like we picked Kirk Gidley off the bench, you know, like,
forced to pick Kirk Gidley.
It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand why you have a utility. Don't have one.
No.
Like, pick Nathan Peets. Well, Nathan Peets can cover hooker and back row.
We'll talk about this a little more soon when we run through the whole lineup.
Yeah, you've got me started, but...
Yeah, we have got started, obviously. But what we're going to do today, because it's a bit earlier and the questions will still be rolling through that you guys want us to do for the Fast Five, we'll do our Fast Five, then we'll do the reviews of the games and we'll do the questions after. So there's a little more time for people to post up what they want, and then we'll do the Origin talk. And if I'm correct, are we going to Periscope on upload?
No, we're not going to Periscope. We'll do Facebook Live. Questions at the end.
Well, whatever that is, I don't understand any of it. When we're done, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good times. All right, so Fast Five, best, worst, high, low, and any questions? Who was your best?
Well, the Cowboys-Broncos game was the best game of the weekend, best moment.
Even with some errors in the first half, just the standard and the pace in a particular second half, the game was outstanding.
And don't get me wrong, I think the better side lost, or the better side threw that game down the road, but the difference was Jonathan Thurston.
I think key positions deserved to win. I thought a few errors is the only reason they were in it. And Brisbane, for me, again, in all three of the last couple of games, they tried to just shut down.
This is the point. I think they had the game won.
They tried to do it in the
GM. They defend it.
But you don't have the game won. You have 80 minutes to play.
No, they had the game won.
They stopped playing.
That's what I'm saying. If they played the way they did, they were the better side.
That's their fault.
I agree. But the better side lost.
And this is my other kind of qualm. When I look at the talent they've got, they shouldn't be trying to defend a lead. And shut down. He's not playing with the Dragons.
They did in the grand final. They did against Penrith.
He's not playing with the Dragons anymore. He's got a good side that can score points.
I don't think that's him. I think that's a little bit of both.
The coaching. He still has the penalty goal system, which I can kind of understand. But with those weapons on the field, keep going. Go for the joke. Cowboys had a bunch of opportunities they blew or they dropped the ball. But I tell you what, they did the same thing they did the last two times. They've come after it.
Well, I think
they're not scared.
The game, like we're going to go into the game later, but the game was decided in a period when the Cowboys had the ball for 13 minutes.
Yeah, but even in the first half, I think it wasn't a true reflection because they made a bunch of errors and couldn't get flowing. But once they get the ball...
Well, I thought both sides made a shot.
And they get going, they can hunt Brisbane down at will. Mm-hmm. Brisbane just kind of shut down and try to
Cowboys,
kick
their to be honest, Cowboys don't overly worry me if I'm Brisbane later on in the year, apart from the fact that we freeze a little bit at the end, yeah.
No, that's part of their game plan. It's ridiculous. Your worst?
Well, the person or persons who leaked Kieran Foran's TAB information...
Yeah, well,
I think that's ridiculous.
Not trying to make light of the situation and sneak a joke in there at the same time, but let me tell you, whatever he lost, a defamation suit usually gets you a fair bit if someone's held liable for it. So
well, they've got to be able to work out who it was.
If they can, I tell you what, he's not going to be too worried about that 75, because for defamation suits, sometimes you're talking in the millions.
Mm.
So, pretty dirty situation. I agree with you there. My worst was football related. It was the Warriors. They're absolutely soulless. They didn't even try. Ryan Hoffman... quite angry on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Who was?
Ryan Hoffman. I had to listen. Yeah. He was blowing up. And
I heard after the game, I think I watched the press conference, and he was sort of saying there's five or six blokes that didn't have a go.
Yeah, basically. He's not too happy, but yeah, they were near soulless.
Can you blame him?
No.
He's used to being in bloody Melbourne and having a good culture.
He's gone there and he's trying to
Warriors culture off, stinks.
And they're just not having a dig. And the other one, as an individual, was watching Nate Miles again. I've said it every single week. He just...
Yeah, you're on so the mate.
Get into him. He's off the pace.
Get into him, Lily.
So far,
get him.
He's so far off the pace.
I can't say it, because then all the Manly fans will say, you hate Manly.
I've said it every week.
I had Manly outside my eight at the start of the year. And you guys don't like it.
But I didn't like them. Out of all the buyers,
Because I've called it, and they're rubbish.
But I never liked the Miles buy. I couldn't understand the Miles buy. Well, he's terrible for you, but
I didn't like moving Tuvey on and bringing Barrett in. So...
No, but
I didn't like any of
the rest of the buyers I can kind of understand and turning the squad over, but paying Nate Miles and thinking that's your gun front row, you're kidding yourself.
Yep.
He's been terrible.
He was passed at the Titans, correct.
And the reason Origin suits him, and he's going to get picked, even though I think the only reason Napa wouldn't get that jersey right now is because he's banned,
yeah,
is because that's a slow, dirty game and it suits him to a tee.
Can I also throw in Greg Bird being an absolute moron in the Panthers game?
Was he abusing the touchy?
He got hit on the shoulder, on the bicep at worst.
Yeah, but he did
abused that. The touchy and said, if I do that, I'll get 4 weeks. Well, no, Greg, because the difference is you take the guy's head off.
Yeah.
Or you put him on his head, you moron.
And Matungi was already...
And I'm a Titans fan, but I can't stand him. Like, and then we talk about diving. He's the one that started diving.
Yeah, he's a fiend for it.
He's been doing it for years and years and years.
He does the scowl face every week.
Yeah, the who farted face. Leave it alone.
He rips into it. Yeah, but I know Miles is going to get picked, and he probably will play well in Origin. But like I said, the game suits him because it gets slow and dirty and messy, and he can stick his head in and do all the rest of it. But as far as club's concerned... I think it's time to ship him off to the Super League. Manly would be regretting that one right now. So,
you know what? Manly sucked in because he's not at the Titans, and I'm very much glad he's not at the Titans.
Well, that's another thing I'm going to touch on later as far as dodging a bullet with you blokes, but highlight.
Highlight was I thought the Titans stealing a win off the Panthers.
Tough again.
Yeah, they hung around. I thought Nathan Davis bombed a try there late, dropped it over the line.
Defended quite well, though.
Yeah, they did. And they're in games. It was just more of the manner they won. I think there was a forward pass in the in that last movement from... I can't even think of who it was from. I thought one of the passes was forward. I thought it was a metre forward.
Stop dragging your team down.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I thought one of the passes was forward, but it doesn't worry me.
Even if
because you cop some shit ones and you get some crap ones
going away.
I have
to watch it again, but even if Pulu threw that forward, he's a front row.
It was forward.
That was a ripper pass.
It was forward.
Nah, I'm cool with it. That was a ripper. And Donnie didn't drop it, so be happy about that. But when
he dropped one earlier in the game, in the corner.
When a big front rower gets it on a short side, and I was like, oh no, and then he throws a 20-metre cutout pass and hits the man on the chest.
And I could just imagine myself being Anthony Griffin when you go into the sheds after that, and just probably choking out Tyrone Peachey, because he's dropped the ball, looked at it.
Yeah, but there was an area before that led to the bad pass as well. It was all a mess.
Yeah, messy. It looked like Penrith just turned up and expected to win that game.
Penrith went try for try with them all day, and probably sat up.
Played with their food.
The first half, I didn't enjoy it at all, because it basically felt like they were camped inside your 20 for half an hour, and they didn't score enough
points. They couldn't score.
No. I've said it week after week. All the offloads...
Our defence is good effort-wise, but I don't think structurally it's that great.
All the ad-lib footy and all the rest of it, Penrith have no idea what to do inside the 20.
Mm.
That's why, again, every time I say it, the halves are not enough to scare me, even though I like them as a side, playing against the top four in finals games where you need to do something inside the 20. They have no idea what to do from set play and good ball. If there's not an offload or something...
It's another close game.
Loose happening. Yeah, blow another one.
Yep.
Good times. My highlight is the toughness of Jonathan Thurston. Got absolutely popped and then stands up and just pokes it from 30 or so on that angle. And Munster last night.
I thought he
was gone. And then his arm didn't work. And then he was still getting involved in tackles and then putting grubbers in and running. Like, he should have gone off, really.
Well, you look at Thurston, right? And then you look at what Bird did. And then you wonder why we lose Origin every year. Yeah. When Greg Bird's the type of player that we pick for New South Wales.
Well, then what hurts you again?
He gets smashed legitimately, lays down like a girl, whinges and bitches to everyone on the field who's willing to listen to it. Thurston caught one, a little bit late, yet hurt, obviously hurt, gets up, kicks a field goal, wins the game for his team.
And you know, the thing again, you've just touched on it, what's Munster? He's a Queenslander as well.
Exactly.
And he just played
I thought that last night. I thought, why do I enjoy watching all these Queensland sides so much? And then it gets to Origin and I hate them so much, but... I'm a New South Wales man.
I'm going to throw it out there. I don't want to talk about it forever or get an argument started, but if Munster wasn't banned, I would put him on the wing before I pick Gagai. I'd be happy for him to play on the wing.
No, I wouldn't. I like Gagai.
how good he is in yardage.
But I can't argue with you. If they did that, I mean, you're splitting hairs, Lou.
No, but I'm saying to you, you're not going to argue with me from a coach's point of view. You can't tell me.
I'd be happy with him. I'd be happy with Holmes. I'd be happy with Oates. I'd be happy with Felt.
But tell me, he's not doesn't look big or fast. He breaks tackles.
Munster.
He just breaks tackles at will. And
yeah, but he could also, the beauty of him, and same as Gagai, is the fact that they can play fullback. They can move to centre. You could throw him in the middle of the field. You know, in fatigue time.
Well, I'm just more and more impressed every week. But last night, he moved up another notch in my book last night. Yeah,
played tough.
Low light.
Laurie Daly's team. His team. And he's like, mate, what, so you've had the last 11 weeks of football and you can't pick a 17?
No, I can't, Brock.
And you can't name them in order? I'm going to name them in alphabetical order.
I tell you what,
does he really think that he's fooling anyone?
Yeah, but they have to release those players back to club on Friday. So if Josh Morris is...
Well, they reckon they're going to finalise the side tomorrow. Ring a ding ding. How about you just name the side on Monday?
Why bring him into camp for?
That's just ridiculous.
Like the Cartwright one, if he's injured, I can understand. That's fine.
And the other one, we're going to get into it, but the other one was the Tigers Knights game was an absolute stinker. If they're not the worst two teams I've seen in the last 10 years, I'll walk backwards from here to bloody Campbelltown because.
Yeah, well, I like watching.
Hey, the Tigers won. But they are so crap. It's not funny. They had 1,000 chances to win that game.
You just want to see Tedesco.
It was embarrassing.
As soon as Tedesco went down,
and Jason Taylor gets in the press conference and tries to act like, oh, it's a great win. We're going. No, Jason, the only place you're going is to second last on the table, mate.
Nah, the only place you're going is the unemployment line. You're out.
Wow. Good on Newcastle. They're trying hard. They're undermanned. But the Tigers,
they've got an excuse.
They're just a basket case, man.
Nathan Brown has picked up an absolute schmozzle in the cap and all these new... I've said it again, I'll say it again. The whole Newcastle setup needs just to be blown up.
I think that's what he's doing.
No, not even him. There's still blokes there. Even Gidley. I don't know what the deal is with all these there's too many ex-players involved.
Oh, it happens at every club.
Yeah, I know. But there's some smarter
clubs. Oh, you're a good bloke. We'll make a job for you.
There's a lot of smarter clubs. And again, I don't want to touch on it too much, but Melbourne doesn't seem to have too much internal involvement. All these better-run clubs seem to have, in key positions, people that aren't blooded from the club or have played for a club. A Bulldogs has got players around the club, but internally, in the business side of the board, there's none. And then you look at a Brisbane again.
Well, that's why they make money.
Yeah, that's the same deal as the Brisbane kind of setup. Brisbane have some players around, but in key positions or in decent spots on your board and everything controlled. It's not a boys' club. It's a business. They operate like a business and a sports franchise.
Penrith's done that in the front office, I think.
Exactly.
Coaching ranks, it still exists a little bit. Jobs for the boys and guys retiring.
Yeah, but as far as Gus being there and people in key positions.
What are they making money?
And your Matty Camerons and, bringing Corey Payne and the rest of it in. They're doing
smart people.
Business.
Yeah, correct.
And that's why we had that massive rant the other week about the Tigers setup, and that's just getting more and more of a boys' club. So,
well, I've got it on decent information.
That Newcastle, decent information, to me, has a similar kind of feel about it. There's a lot of people there in job. How's Matt Gidley the CEO in the first place? What did he do after football to jump into a job like that? That's ridiculous.
Well, he's got no experience.
Gun player, but you're now the CEO of the Newcastle Knights.
Because he's the most qualified person in Newcastle to do it, obviously.
Oh, snap now. Now he's taking Newcastle.
Look, seriously, I've got it on good information that Jason Taylor doesn't pick that side. I've got on very, very good information that he gets handed a sheet every week.
That's awesome.
And this is your team, Jason.
Yeah, I'd quit.
So if that's not the Green Mile, dead man walking.
I'd just quit. Todd Payton sent it by email.
Yeah, but if he quits, he doesn't get paid out. Yeah,
Todd Payton sent it by email from Queensland saying, this is what I want. Yeah. I want to have a look at these blokes as well.
I don't know. But I've got it on pretty good information. I'm not going to obviously reveal a source, but someone I trust.
My low light was the Penrith injuries again. As like I said, they didn't deserve to win, but Hiku's ACL was ugly. I hate seeing anyone do their knee, but somebody's popped it. The look on his face.
It was terrible.
That feeling.
And that dragging tackle, we're going to have a look at that.
Yeah, that feeling, though, and like I said, there's probably plenty of people out there who play different sports. There's no more lower feeling than even when people are clapping and they're trying to acknowledge it. You don't want to look at anyone. That's like the worst thing in the world, to just be sitting on the ground.
You know, you've got 6 months before you
play. Yeah, but even just that whole...
And all the rehab and all the
surgery. The helpless feeling
and
just everyone looking at you. You don't want anyone... You don't even talk to anyone when that happens. You just want to be left in your piece. Yeah,
well, most people who have played sport have had some sort of injury.
Fisher Harris as well, 6 to 8 weeks with the hand, and you said about Cartwright. So they were dealt a couple of decent blows yesterday. When they just started to look like they were getting healthy again, they've just had 3 walk back out. So the curse kind of continues, but questions, what do you got?
Well, what's your thoughts on the side, New South Wales side?
Well, I have my one here, and compared to what we had, and I've got the squad here on the internet. So basically, if you look at what he's picked, you'd like to probably think that Frizzell and Morris are the two that miss out and Cartwright's there for development. So what he's got is Moylan at fullback.
Mansell. So are we saying that Dylan Walker's going to play?
Mate, he's going to be the utility.
Oh, my God.
He's picking a utility. So looking at what they've got.
Wow.
The back line, Moylan or Coote, either way, I still think Coote deserved it more than Moylan. I think, again, the other thing that we're missing out here is the left foot kicking game, which is massive for the Cowboys, and he does a really good job. So I probably would add him instead, but that one doesn't bother me anywhere near as much.
No, I agree with that one. There's no way. Both had Coote, but we both could cop Moylan.
Mansour, Ferguson, Jennings, Dugan, I can cop all that. The only other one I said I would maybe put in there, but I don't have a problem again, is Roberts on a wing, but that hasn't happened. Maloney and Reynolds. Maloney, we're both fine with. I thought Townsend, if you're going to go off form, would probably be the half.
I'm okay with Reynolds.
Reynolds was the next cab off the rank that we've mentioned the last couple of years. So again, if it wasn't Pierce, no problem there. Gallen in the front row, I agree with. Farrah, I don't. But again, that was always guaranteed.
I can live with 1-9. I can live with that.
Keep Wood, going. We'd neither Woods, of us had Woods.
No, I would have had Tamo in.
Jackson, I didn't have starting. No, maybe on the bench, but I wouldn't have probably had him in my side. So.
We would have both had Wade Graham in that slot.
I would have had Gallen, Tarmow, Graham with Cordner and Bird. So we've got two or three changes there, basically in the forward pack. The bench with Fifita, Tarmow, Clemmer. I was fine with, but Tarmow was starting. But I had Merrin and Cartwright. Cartwright was my utility.
Yeah, I would have had Walker out, and then I'd have either Woods or Clemmer. I don't really mind.
And then I had...
You've got to have Fifita, I think.
If you wanted to have a shadow kind of set up there, I would have taken maybe Jack Bird into camp, Frizzell, or a Josh Jackson.
I wouldn't have taken Frizzell in.
But, yeah. And then I said the same way...
What are we saying about Frizzell? He can play good for 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. This is my other problem. When he was playing well last year...
Yeah, I could cop that.
You didn't take him into camp. Yeah. Or you did in the third game when it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But this year, he plays bad for 7 weeks, has one or two good games, and again, you brush...
Yeah.
Away Graham, who's played well for 3 years.
Correct.
And you send a message that 2 games is enough for you to be able to go straight back in a kick.
For me, the glaring one on the bench is no Trent Merrin. I don't know what they're thinking there.
Well,
to pick Dylan Walker over Trent Merrin, I don't know. 99, I'd say 99% of Blues fans would agree that Dylan Walker shouldn't be there. And whether you're going to argue who it is, doesn't matter. Even looking at that, it's got to be Frizzell. Frizzell has to play over Walker.
But I've got to quantify even the Woods thing again, like we said a million times. He's a good club player.
Train on. Like we're training players on.
He's a good club player, but at Origin, you need to be able to bend the line, dominate attack. No.
Who is Woods? Woods, yeah.
He's a great club player, but you need to be in Origin, you need to be able to bend the line, dominate a tackle, offload, or bring something. He's one-paced. He racks up numbers. He doesn't dominate tackles. He doesn't.
It's almost D-Day for him.
Win the play the balls.
Well, he's going to start.
It's the way D-Day. They're talking, he's going to end up being our captain in the future, which to me is insane because then they're talking that maybe Fifita misses out for somebody. But Fifita is absolutely killing teams and getting offloads. And yeah, there's a little bit of ill discipline, but I'll take the upside of him and his footwork and the impact. And even basically winning his side the game on the weekend. He forced 4 blokes in on him and got the penalty that they took the 2 points with. They scored later on.
Yeah.
But he's been dynamic. So I'm taking the downside of maybe him having a brain snap because of what he offers.
Yeah.
And a Jimmy Tarmia, you know what you're going to get at him. You get footwork and offload and a good bump. And Clemmer at least can bend the line. He still needs to learn to go down because he likes to fight and drag people in. But at least he bends the line back. And he's been playing big minutes and racking up some serious numbers of his own, I guess, since he's been playing as a starter. But yeah.
I would have been happy just to carry Fifita and Merrin as my middles on the bench because... I don't know. I think we're just dabbling too much, going to give everyone a little bit of time, you know? And Daly's got the habit of, in the last few years, he brings people off at certain stages, and you think, you bring him off and he's just starting to go well.
Yeah, well, I'd have no Woods, no Walker, no Jackson, more than I can live with, but there's probably 3 I don't agree with there.
Oh, yeah, Woods, Jackson, Walker.
And the Innes thing, again, either
Clemmer
way.
Or Woods. Well, Clemmer as well, I probably wouldn't have.
Who are you picking then?
I'd have Merrin.
Yeah, we already had Merrin.
Yeah, but on my bench, my bench would be Fifita. Who else have I got there?
Cartwright.
Yeah, Fifita, Merrin. Cartwright, Merrin. I can't even think of who the other one was.
You said no Clemmer or no Woods, so...
No Clemmer, no Woods. I'd have Gallen and Tamo starting.
Yeah, so you're missing player.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to have a look at what I named last week. Leave it with me.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, other questions, keep going. We'll talk about this later.
What's wrong with the Warriors?
What is it wrong?
Well, it's just bad. The other day was bad.
They're soulless. Blokes don't care. They've taken the excuse again with the coach, or they've lost a couple of players, and a few guys get on the steel knocks or whatever they bloody did with the power drinks, and now we're here and Manu was going to move on, or they might move Manu. Like, it's all just too hard, it seems, for them. And then they get offended when people say they've got a bad culture. You do, obviously. Something's definitely wrong.
Correct.
And you bring over like somebody like a Hoffman to try and help out.
Yeah, but to me, it's like got to the point now where it's really bad.
Yeah,
like,
there is a problem, but they get offended by it. Really bad. They're like, oh, you question our culture. Like, well, look at the way you're playing and the effort you're putting in.
The other player I had was Bo Scott.
Yeah,
I think he's been Parramatta's best player.
I think he's been good too, but at some, with all the back rowers, you've got to move on at some point.
Yeah, but for me, I'm looking at Dylan Walker and going, well, yeah, okay, so that's fine. If you're going to say Clemmer over Scott,
and all these guys,
Clemmer over Scott, I can cop that. Yeah. But I think if you're picking on form, or Josh Jackson over Bo, who's playing better at club, Jackson or Scott? Scott.
I think Jackson's been pretty good, but I still wouldn't have it. He wouldn't fit in with all the other blokes I've got. I don't think Marin's done anything wrong. At an origin level, we said it last year.
The way that Greg Bird carries on, him and Gallen, this is going to be their last series, surely.
That's what I mean. I always put a broom to all of them. I got at that point where I think we had enough, especially in the back.
I'd much rather run Trent Merrin out in my 13 than Greg Bird.
Yeah, but even at origin level, you can't say he's done anything wrong because the way the interchanges have been handled the last few years. Bird or Merrin?
Yeah, you've got to start him.
No, but the way the interchanges are used...
Same as Cordner last year.
They don't use... Ridiculous. He's never been used properly anyway, so never got a decent
touch. You pick Cordner off as an edge player and play him in the middle. Yeah. Oh, just what a dump.
Ridiculous. The Warriors things.
The other one is a little bit of a technical one. There was a little bit of banter about, does a hand on the ball make the ball dead in the field of play? So in Tyrone Peach's case, he's dropped it, put his hand out, hasn't really secured it, but he's got his hand on it. The Titans player, I think it was Ash Taylor, ran through, kicked it. He doesn't have... It's not grounded. You can't ground
the ball dead the ball in the field of play. Correct. Or you've got to kick it out.
You've got to possess it.
Yeah, he didn't possess the ball.
Yeah, good, thank you.
So it was fine.
Good.
My questions. I've lost all my bloody paperwork here.
What's going on, mate?
But I'm back here. Out of Napa, Munster, Holmes, Milford, etc., if they're not banned, is there any way you see things
Milford
changed?
Milford in.
What, so Morgan doesn't play?
No, I'd play Morgan on a wing.
I'd play Morgan in the centres. He won a Queensland Cup the year before he moved up and played fullback, and he's strong enough defensively and speed-wise. Yeah. You could have put him on Thurston's side of the field.
Or I'd play Milford
as your impact off the bench. And like I said to you,
I'd probably play Inglis at one then, I guess.
Going off form, I would have picked Munster over Gagai on the other wing as well.
Okay, yeah. Napa,
if I said, the only reason I reckon Miles is going to get a reprieve is because they got no other front rowers to pick. If Napa was available and not banned, I reckon Miles...
Napa's got to go.
Miles would have got the Harrison treatment where they would have said, thank you for your service.
Napa had that real cracker game. His form's been inconsistent.
Yeah, but you tell me who's been better out of him and Nate Miles, and who's more likely to go off like a frog in a sock in a game like that. He's nuts.
Him.
Red hair and a maroon jersey, Jesus Christ, I'd be fearing for my life. Correct. Wouldn't be going near him. And you'd be sitting him for about 50 minutes. Imagine what that if you aggravated him for more than half the game. He'd go Burke out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care if he got sent off. He'd probably kill someone.
I don't even care if he killed somebody.
The New South Wales thing we've basically touched on, but the big one, like I said, what does Wade Graham have to do?
I don't know.
What do you think now?
I don't know. Maybe play shit and he might get picked.
What do you think now if you're Wade Graham? Like, it's pretty dumb.
It'll get to a point like Jamie Lyon, where he just goes, no, forget it, I don't want to play.
Well, what we'll do, like I said, our reviews, we'll answer your questions afterwards because we're doing this a bit earlier, so I'll give him a chance to rack some time up. So we started off Thursday night, South 34-24 with the Dragons. Same issues for both teams, really. South's way too many errors, so loose with the football. The Burgess brothers dead set need hand replacements.
Yep.
I can't figure out what's going on between George and Tom. And St. George's attack, just average again. Like, there's a lot more points, obviously, in the totals than what these teams usually score, especially St. George, but there was nothing flash about it.
Nope.
Nothing flash at all.
No, nope, it was ordinary, my friend. Very, very ordinary. South did enough, and I think they've played two teams who are, like Parramatta, they've Fannicum stole that game the week before. That was dead in the bag. Yeah. Parramatta up by 14. This game, I didn't think they stole it, but no. I sort of thought they fiddled around.
I thought they were better than the Dragons.
To be beaten, yeah.
But the amount of
errors, kept the Dragons in the game long enough to be a chance of getting beat. The Dragons had no
points. They love spilling the pill this year, don't they?
Oh, they're just errors.
I was dumbfounded. The one thing I will say, I think GI has been better. Why he's been playing at six, because he's getting his hands on the footy, he's chalking up some metres, his involvements are much better. And then I didn't mind the Walker thing. Basically, Maguire's conceded after 1 week, which we've seen again. Johnston may be quick and he wants to play fullback and I want this and that, but he didn't make enough of a dent the week before. He doesn't have a great ball playing ability. So he's put Walker on the wing and basically said, when we get into attack or if you're back there, link up, float around, do what you do, because I can't squeeze you in the halves quite at this point in time. And I thought he played well.
I don't
well.
Want it, yeah.
I don't have a problem it. With it. And we've seen, like we've said a million times before, more junior 5'8s, if they've got enough turn of foot and are not great inline ball players, are generally getting that six roll now and getting the link up and pick and choose a little bit. Like Moylan struggled to come through the grades as a half, moved to fullback, and all of a sudden now he's playing for New South Wales. So it's made a massive difference to his career. And it sparked Michael Morgan's resurgence to obviously hold a consistent spot in first grade before he moved back to play 5'8". So I thought they needed that point of difference and it worked out well. Carter's as loose as a goose, but, you know, I take the good with the bad. And I thought Brown's been pretty good with them since he got that City jersey as well. But
Brown's been great.
Overall, there's way too many errors in their game. They need to clean it up. The Dragons, I don't know what else to say. Widdop's been terrible. There's a few blokes I think play well every week, like your Armour. I think he tries hard every week. Frizzell's obviously been better since they've moved in closer to the football because he's obviously not getting on the edge. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. Demetrio was bought from the Cowboys to help fix their attack. I don't think he's been given any say in what's happened because nothing's changed. No. They may defend well, but McGregor's got no idea in attack, or he says every week, oh, I've given them some principles, but they're not listening. Well, if they're not listening, make some changes.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, I've given them some unstructured or some stuff, and they're not doing it. Well, whose fault's that?
Yeah, agreed.
You know, or cross the body. You know, the other thing that kills me, again, not using players. He picked Jacob Host, who I commentated on Cup on the weekend. It was awesome. Absolutely outstanding. He sat in for the 80 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, just don't pick him. It's same as when you pick a hooker like Harvey and they give him 5 or 10 minutes at the end. You basically play him for 15. Just don't do it. It's a waste of time.
Because
when you do get two injuries and you do need to use them, if you don't trust them enough to use them when you've got 7-8, why pick them in the first place? I just, you know?
Yep.
Dragons play the Cowboys this week with a million changes. They get a couple of players back, you know, I think Thompson and Benji, but even still, to be honest, I reckon the Cowboys will still give them a run for their money. I don't know if they'll win, but
I haven't really had a look at the side.
We'll go through that later, but I still think the Cowboys are almost resilient enough to get the job done. South, they have the bye. Cowboys Broncos, 19-18 Friday night. All of the last three games decided by 1 point. What an absolutely outstanding game of football. But I see the common theme, like I said, Broncos tend to play more conservative, grind away, get the lead. Cowboys are always trying to throw the kitchen sink. They made some errors. But once they get that lead, the Broncos, they always try to safeguard it instead of keep playing football. And I think they've got a team. Yeah, but I think they've got a team now, like I said to you. Hunt, Milford, the edge players, the forward pack. They've got enough there to keep going on with the job. So finish the job. Don't shut down. Because a side like the Cowboys,
I thought they were the better team for 60 and then they put the cue in the rack.
Because the Cowboys, once the ball sticks, which it did after a little bit, they just
come up. And I also thought Bennett cocked up his interchanges. I thought he... There was a period there where they were just under the pump, absolutely under the pump in terms of...
Well, I think what hurt also is they lost McCulloch and Oates. So
I get that. So he'd only use one change or two changes at half time. So you throw those two in, it's four. If he's used, he still would have had three subs there with about 25 to go.
He had Nikurima.
I'd rather put my chips into the middle there and say, right, I've got to get some fresh guys on here to try and absorb this attack from the Cowboys. But they didn't. They conceded two tries. It was 18-all. And then from that point on, you were just waiting for the Cowboys to win, really. And even still, the Cowboys gave the Broncos multiple chances. Milford had a chip shot in front to draw it up.
Yeah, everyone was offside.
It's ridiculous. So, look, it's a game that got away for the Broncos. They could have easily won that game, and they could have won the game 5 or 6 times.
Well, I still think the Cowboys
are just good enough to hang around. They're a premiership. That's the reason why they're
defending premiers. And they can score whenever they want.
Yeah, they're more potent than what Brisbane are.
If more of those passes stick, and that's been the theme in all those games, well, the second half of the grand final, they had 5 or 6 chances that didn't stick just off passes. They could have beaten them by 30 if everything sticks.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen. But all these games have been the same thing to me. Cowboys start slow because they like to force the footy around, and Brisbane kind of stay in that zone. But they shut down and just go into kick mode, kick on the fourth, play simple football. The Cowboys just keep going at 80. They don't put the cue in the rack. If they're going to beat you, they're going to go down swinging. And that forward pack especially, Scott Tamalolo outstanding again. Thurston iced the game, but good game of football. Really enjoyed it. Cowboys, like we said, they play the Dragons this weekend. Broncos, they've got 3 debutants, all really good players to look out for. We'll talk about that later when we do our tips, but they play the Tigers at home. Speaking of the Tigers, the game that you said was one of the worst games you've ever seen, Tigers 20, Newcastle 12. It definitely didn't reach any great heights, that's for sure.
Hell no. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I thought Newcastle, if they had some more potent attacking players, could have won the game. Tigers sort of kept them around and played with their food a little bit, but they definitely didn't look like they obviously looked the better side, the Tigers, but they didn't look streaks ahead of the Knights.
No, and again, like I said, I struggle to watch the Tigers without Tedesco, to be honest. That touch of class when he's usually there helps me. But yeah, they had some late changes of their own. The Tigers, Naguama, Hunt pulled out. Ballon got KO'd 5 minutes into his return and had to go off, so that wasn't a great start for him.
No.
I watched him, he was brilliant the week before in Cup, so yeah, things weren't great. Probably the highlight for me for the Tigers was watching Elijah Taylor. He set up a couple of tries and played really well, so I hope he does secure a contract at the end of the year, but to be honest, I hope it's not with the Tigers. I don't want to see him play for the Tigers.
No,
I think he's
at least he's playing first
grade. I know he's playing first grade, but crap. If that's where he's going to spend the next couple of years, I'm sure getting the paycheck's nice.
Mm.
And they'll have to give him a good one because he's decent, but I'd rather him have to move on, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad that's where he had to go in the end.
Well, Penrith could use him now with Fisher-Harris injured.
Yeah. Well, yeah, God. They're so resilient, though. I've got to give that to Newcastle for all the young blokes. And I've got to give a rap again, Safidi. He really went ape on the weekend, just like he did that Fijian game. He's bought in, I think, a little more. Daniel, 234 metres, 30-something tackles, couple offloads. Like, that's the core, like I said, every week. That's if there's anything I'm taking if Nathan Brown, because you're in such a shit situation with your salary cap, and a lot of this is out of his control. Even with Smith retiring, Wicks going, McManus. Oh, sorry, not Wicks. Who was I bloody trying to think of? Snowden.
Yeah.
McManus and even Smith going a year early, that's how bad they are cap-wise, what's been done beforehand, that he can't even do anything next year with three guys leaving early. That's how bad things are. That's out of his control, but it's those little upsides and things like watching him on the weekend, like I said, building internally. And Nathan Brown's nailed it. First grade isn't this hard, it's just the situation you're in right now that's making it so much harder.
They've had the backside ripped out of them.
And their older players aren't helping out. Like, Jeremy Smith's doing his job.
Smith was great.
There's a big bulk of guys in that 50 to 100 game mark, though. They're not pulling their weight and helping out. There's a lot of guys that think they're doing a lot better than what they really are. And then there's, like, someone like a Rocco, who I think's a safe player. You know, not anything over the moon, but they're saying that he's filthy with the offer he got and he's talking to the Sharks and Penrith. And I'm looking at teams like that going, well, why do they need Robbie Rocco? So, I don't know. Yeah. And I feel bad for a bloke like Dan Gagai as well. He's busting his humps, so... hard times there, but the Tigers, like you said, they get away with that one, 20-12. They play the Broncos this week. Newcastle, they have the Eels, only minus Jennings, so I think it's going to be more pain.
Look,
for them,
the positive is that that's the second time that the Knights and the Tigers have played this year, so I don't have to put myself through that ever again.
Battle of the Spoon, 1-1.
Wow.
1-1 for the Spoon battle.
Yeah, went on home ground advantage.
Four wins the Tigers are, so somehow they're still in the mix for the bottom of the eight.
Yeah, the Knights have got the Spoon.
It's insanity. Canberra over the Warriors, 38-12, one-way traffic. There was no soul there. Canberra rolled, did everything at will, killed them on the edges, played them through the guts. Even the random thing where they decided they were going to start young Baptiste over Hodgson, which I found a bit odd, but Hodgson come on, scored a try, set one up, a couple of line breaks, just didn't really feel like they were ever under pressure.
Maybe Ricky knew that they were just going to roll through them.
Well, you know the biggest worry sign when you're 2-3 minutes in and Leilua gets to take a tap with a back turn and bumps four blokes off. And he was held up, but that told me right there that it was going to be a long
day. They weren't on at all, the Warriors.
No. And he was outstanding again. Another one again. I'm sure he's probably a bit mental, but he didn't even get a run.
Oh, he's mental.
Didn't get a run in the City Country game or a mention.
But on form, he should have been around about.
He didn't even get a mention. So again, we're looking at little things like this and wondering why we're in trouble, but...
Well, he's obviously done something wrong.
Oh, Christ.
Maybe that we haven't heard
They picked
about.
Him a couple of years ago for City when he wasn't even playing that well at the Roosters. Now he's absolutely murdering it.
I know.
You can't get a look
That's
at
why
it.
I'm trying to... Yeah.
But, yeah, he was outstanding. They were 22-0 at half time. It could have been more, honestly. It could have been more easily. But, yeah, Vorney, all these blokes did a good job. Hodgson's impact. Lima came back. I thought that steadied things a little bit. Bateman did well with his starting chance, and they get Sia back this week, so... Slowly but surely, I think the halves as well looked a bit better. A couple of more games now, and they've both had injury issues, especially Alston. But the more time they spend together, Canberra have basically torched themselves looking at it. They should be 8 wins.
Yeah,
they had a draw with Newcastle. They blew the Penrith game. They blew the Dragons game. And there's one other one I'm not thinking about.
Yeah,
right,
and they're
now
still in the eight, and they've got the Eels ahead of them. So but realistically, they're sitting 6, and they've thrown down the road at least two or three
and they're,
games.
They're blowing games that aren't against like massive sides. Like they're just guaranteed wins. They could be 8-1.
Yeah,
or 8-2 with a draw.
No, worst. The draw shouldn't have happened.
Nah, they should be 9.
Yeah,
they should almost be up there with the top sides. So they're just frustrating.
They should be at least 8.
They've got that Warriors kind of set up though. They can score points, but they don't want to do the tough stuff. They can't hold you out. Until you can see that, you're worried. But every time I watch them with the football and the way they roll, good stuff, but the Warriors, there's nothing positive to say there. They need a complete knockdown rebuild.
Well, horrendous. They just got, they're like butter.
Well, they've got the bye this week. Hopefully nothing comes out about any other occurrences or off-field stuff or people tweeting about the coach or, you know, any other stuff going on. Canberra, they go home to play the Bulldogs. They're going to be missing Papali, but they get Sia back, which is good for them. Dogs, I suppose Morris probably goes back, but no Jackson, no Clemmer, so that's still fairly even. Cronulla, 20-12 over Manly, up 12-0 early. Kind of thought they might kick on, but Manly seem to be their bogey side.
They are.
And the record speaks of it, and it almost happened again.
Manly, they're kryptonite.
Manly dragged them into a bit of a dirty dogfight, and things got pretty gritty. It was dead set even in every aspect that game, all the way up until the end. But the turning point for me, once it got to 12-12, was that Fifita carry a couple of times, busting him up, and he dragged three or four in and got him a penalty. And Maloney's a dead-eye. He knocks it over, gets them to 14-12, and then late they take their chance there and they shut that game out. But they almost did lose that one. But in saying that again, if you're going to be one of these top sides, and I put them right up there in that echelon,
you close
these games out when things go wrong. Like when Melbourne almost blew it against Newcastle, you find a way. Tigers game with Melbourne, they find a way. Or the Sharks the other week with Brisbane against the big wig. You find a way to close these games out. So
they're
putting more credence to the fact that they're a contender, I think, for this season.
Yeah, they are. At this point in time, they lead the comp.
Benny Barber, despite any talk of what's going on off the field, the stoush with Fecky, he was brilliant again. And that's a bloke, again, that I get the shits about these people that all of a sudden jump on a bandwagon. We've been rapping Fecky's yardage work and how hard he goes the last couple of years. And all of a sudden now they're going, oh, how good's Fecky?
Yeah.
Well, he's been good for the last couple of years. He busts his backside. He's one of the best yardage.
I'd appreciate it.
But now they've got a couple of tries, and all of a sudden, oh, what about that bloke? He's a good player. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about all the yardage work he's been doing for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. On the Manly side of things, not a lot that impressed me. I thought they were tough as a whole, but they're still stuttering along. Parcell does his job. I thought Jake Jovoyevich has always busted his hump. Tommy wasn't too bad. But
they play in patches.
Yeah.
The difference between their best and worst in a game is poles apart.
Is massive.
You know, when things stick, they get a bit of possession, they look good, but, you know, for 75% of the game, of games, I think they look pretty good. Well,
both these sides have the bye, and the Cronulla Sharks are first on the ladder.
Yep.
So, all those blokes out there that whinged after two games and blew up and said, oh, it's all going to go bad, what did we say?
Yep.
Just let your new halves sink in, let the fullback find their way, let everyone kind of come together, you're 9-2.
Yep.
And my over 12.5 wins bet for the season's looking very nice at $2.30. Right. Ooh, yeah.
We both had a moment.
Give me that cabbage. Give me. Penrith and the Titans. Mate, dead set. All the ball inside 20 first half. You guys couldn't get out. You just kept making errors, giving them chances. They were sitting there. Like I said, they honestly, if it's not coming off an offload or a broken tackle or something just loose and crazy, Penrith, set play or set structure inside 20.
They tend to play a little bit of that block stuff too.
That's all they've got. If it's not coming off an offload or a broken tackle or someone, you know, make like a peachy or someone popping up or cut right offload, they do better when things are just loose. Anything that's kind of set up, they struggle big time. They really do struggle. I felt like I watched them just parked in front of your try line for half hour.
Yeah.
And
whereas the Titans play a little bit of ad lib, and that's where their points came from.
And I'm just going to throw it out there. Ashley Taylor right now would have to be close to by the year. He's probably on top, I reckon.
Yeah.
If you look at what he's working with and losing his halves partner and what he's got on a week-to-week basis...
Just make
as
sure
a baby seven.
What minute are we into the podcast? 42.5 minutes. I'll have to tell Robbie at school. Robbie at school told me that Ash Taylor's terrible and yada yada yada.
I only said to you that before the season, and that's a fair judgment. I thought he'd come out of a gun side, and I wasn't sure about the hype yet, just because I hadn't seen a better 20s team. He had all the weapons around him. Didn't think he was a bad player, but you were never going to find out, were you?
No.
And I'm even more impressed, like I said, because
what else can you judge him on?
I like Tyrone Roberts, and I don't know why Newcastle let him go. I think he's been good for you as well, but I have to give Taylor a rap because I just think even with no LG there.
Yeah, but out of those two, who's staying next year when LG comes in?
Well, I think LG gets the job, but I still think Roberts is a first grade half.
So Taylor's gone?
No. I'm just saying. I think Roberts has been good as well, so he's helping him.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, but which one goes?
No, LG comes in, but I'm just saying.
No, but which out of Taylor and
Roberts goes?
Correct.
I'm just saying, Roberts has been good as well.
He has been.
Your side is well overachieved, what a lot of people think. But I think Taylor, given the circumstances he's been dealt, to go across there with a solid forward pack, not the greatest back line in the world, and they don't have a whole lot of depth, he's done outstanding.
Yeah, he has.
He's, like I said, I could say Townsend or a Maloney for buy of the year or a couple of these other dudes, which would be an easy option. But if you want to take real value for money in a credible position, I think you could easily throw Taylor up there.
Well, we're in the eight. Titans are in the eight, like on obviously out on point differential. You take Parramatta out, we're ninth.
So but yeah, basically they got a free try off Zillman, and you were still 12 all after all that football. You're just so resilient. I love Parsi off the bench. I love Pulu. They're both outstanding. It kind of went try for try. Every time Penrith thought they were kicking away, you guys found a way to get back in, and it was that critical error at the end where they don't kill the football. Taylor picks it up and Pulu threw that cracker pass and you stole the game.
Yeah, no, I didn't think the Pulu one was forward. I thought one of the ones in the break, yeah. Go watch it again. Mm. There was definitely a forward pass there, I thought.
Well, Penrith are an absolute buzzkill if you're a fan right now.
They are. I can't wait to talk to Mr. Gossett.
You have a heart attack every single week and then they blow that one, but... Yeah, I thought Pete's as well, great attitude on his first game, 40-plus tackles, scored a try, went hard like he always does.
Yeah.
And yeah, hard day for Penrith with Hiku, Cartwright, Fisher, lost a couple of players, but they should have won that game. So
could say that about a few games.
Full credit to the Titans again for just getting involved. So both of those teams have a bye next week. Dogs, Roosters, this one frustrated me to watch, to be honest.
The Roosters
got out to an 18-0 lead. They were rolling, offload, shifting. I'm happy to see that the Bulldogs are actually trying to play a little bit more football, but they did their usual as well. They put the cue on the rack. The sad thing for the Roosters with all those big names that I thought are back in the forward pack, I thought they were sparked off the 18-year-old kid that was trying his back.
They were
Latrell, which is sad.
Yeah,
and you were right about Jake Friend being frustrated. He's trying his back so off. My God,
he's frustrated.
It's killing him.
I'm telling you.
Week to week.
I said that last week.
Oh, I've watched him blow up, but he's still playing well. But
no, I'm not. I didn't say that he was playing.
He's still playing. He's frustrated.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm surprised he hasn't jumped a ref yet.
Well, look, I've ruled out the Tigers, the Warriors, the Roosters.
Oh, they're gone.
So it's a 12-team comp, ladies and gentlemen.
They're gone. Even take Guerin that out. They might jag a couple of wins, but what have they got left now? They're only on two.
And then realistically, you've got Parramatta, they're going to come down, so they're out.
Parramatta.
So that leaves you with 11, and then I think the three that are out at the moment, Titans, Dragons, Seagulls, will probably end up out. So I think the eight, as it is now, minus Parra, so you're 9 minus Parra, it will be the 8.
It's Canberra and Penrith to lose, really. They should be...
Well, I think Dogs, Raiders, Panthers, Rabbits will be the bottom four.
The home finals is a scrap between those four sides, really. I'd put the pen through the Dragons, and I don't want to put it through your mob, but I probably would, even though I think you'll jag some wins. Manly need a shiteload of improvement, and they've got injuries and change every week, so they've got the same problem.
Well, the good thing for those sides... obviously, the Seagulls won the same amount of points as the Tigers, but they're copying nowhere near as much flack.
Nah.
You've got the same record as the Tigers. So, for Manly fans thinking that you're going okay, you're not. And you're also 3 wins behind 500. So, basically, they're going to have to go on a 4-game winning streak to get into the 8 at some point.
Well, during this point of the year...
This is when it's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
You've got Cherry Evans. He's not in Origin.
Nah.
You've lost who? Dylan Walker. That's it.
And Miles.
And if he gets picked.
Losing Miles probably won't be a bad thing.
No, I don't think it will. Used to go better without him.
Yeah. So, I don't know about their draw. I haven't had a look. But if they get a decent run through here, they might be able to push their way up.
There you go. Correct.
It's pretty close.
So, for them, the Titans and the Dragons, it's just how they sort of go through this period. Because otherwise, you're going to be looking at 8 games to go after Origin, and you're going to probably have to win...
Yeah.
6 or 7 of them.
Going to have a tough run. But back to that game we're talking about. Latrell did try to spark him. 18-10 halftime. You'd be frustrated if your Dez has all that is shut down. Second half, it just seemed every time they found a try or a way back in, they just made an error. The amount of errors on play 1-2 from a forward just knocking on or an offload or a tip, just nothing.
Yep.
Nothing would stick. Even Jared frustrated me a little bit. He tried to push an offload and a tip, and Toki Aho is usually safe as houses, and Liu only made one error in like his first 3 years. All these guys just split the footy, so... And I know there's some Roosters fans, a couple of guys frustrated with the Ferguson contest, they got penalised, but honestly, you didn't deserve to win that game.
No way.
Hard done by, whatever you think. The amount of errors and just the attitude of some of the older blokes has really surprised me. I thought all those guys coming back, they'd kick on, and they've... I'm not taking anything away from your mob last week, but I don't even think they were anywhere near committed enough last week. And then on the weekend again, a lot of those older heads didn't lead from the front.
No.
An 18-year-old who's making errors, but at least he's trying. led from the front, and Jake Friend has got a right to be frustrated because he's busting. And Cordner. 100%. Cordner, my God, you haven't seen a man run the ball so hard. He's outstanding. As much as I hate to say it, I thought Josh Reynolds played well.
Yeah.
Sparked right up. Their forward pack, as always, was really, really good. Clemmer, Jackson Graham, etc. But, yeah, they got a lot of free football. So,
yeah.
Roosters basically tried to hand that one off.
Yeah, well done to the Dogs. It's a game I didn't think they'd win.
No. But... and they get Canberra next week, away down in Canberra. Last year, this is the one they won right near the death at Canberra Blue. This is another one of these ones where they have their fingers crossed. And the Roosters, they've got the bye, well needed. The last game of the round, Storm 18-6 over the Eels. I reckon the way the Eels played last night would have beaten most sides probably in the comp.
Yeah.
Bar probably the top four. I really didn't think they were that bad. But Melbourne's defence is absolutely outstanding. They had a lot of chances and Melbourne shut it down. And our edges, I'm so happy right now. For the fact we've got 7 or 8 guys and all the ones we've rolled through, the aggression off the edges, just making decisions, not waiting, just jamming. Chase Blair jammed a couple of blokes. Vunivalu and Corabidi gave absolute nightmares to anyone. Clint Gutherson must have just wanted to walk off the field at the end of that game.
Yeah.
He got chopped. And Vunivalu smoked someone else again as well. He doesn't even think.
No.
He doesn't even consider whether he's going to go, you know, backpedal or slide out. His first option is just kill someone.
Yeah,
I thought they had an ample amount of opportunities and their forward pack did a really good job considering they lost Scott early in the game. I heard some people go, oh, the refereeing's bullshit, but if you've ever read a rule book, if you're in front of the play the ball when that penalty that no one understood...
No, well, no one understood it because Fox really didn't read it, and they didn't explain
it. The commentators didn't. If you're in front of the play the ball, you're dead for that play.
Well, so they just said that, but they didn't really explain it, you know what I mean? So a lot of fans would have went, what are you talking about?
So Norman's involvement in them basically getting down there...
Well, you're dead. You're offside.
You're offside, so you can't be involved in that call. Play. Simple. So it was the right call. But yeah, I heard a little thing like that today, and I was like, mate...
The bunker must have picked that up, but you had, I don't think the refs on the field would have picked that up.
No, I heard one of the refs called it straight away. He's like, did you... better check that, let them know to have a quick look for us. Someone said, I think he was in front of the play the ball.
Oh, okay.
Good. So that was the on-field point. But you look, there was ample opportunity. They just didn't get there. Even at the end when they finally got that try, they got plenty of opportunities inside 20.
Yeah.
Melbourne's defence is just ridiculous. And the forward pack, again, can't give enough raps. Bellamy threw up Finucane as an Origin hopeful. I think he's been pretty good, but I don't know so much about Origin level, but all those guys, like a Glasby, a guy that was a bit player, making 190 off the bench. And killing it. And Nelson finally realising that he's a big human. And all the rest of those guys. And then a Munster, just the toughness. And Blake Green and Kronk seem to be playing a bit better together. We've found a balance now.
Cohesiveness now is good.
But we've found a balance, I think, between the structure and needing to offload a bit. At the start of the year, we were way too loose.
I read a lot of what the Cowboys players said coming out of last week's game. They said they're much harder to defend now, Melbourne.
Yeah. And we've got a better balance. Early in the year,
Parramatta were okay last night, I thought, but I think the air's gone out of their balloon.
Yeah.
They know that they can't make the
eight. They're done.
That loss last week was heart-wrenching, and then now they've compounded it. If they lose all 12 points, theoretically they're on zero. You give them 4, they need 12 wins. So the season's almost done-skis.
Yeah, well... we've got all of our stuff sorted. That's the review. Oh, well, sorry. Melbourne have the bye, and the Eels go to play Newcastle, but that's in Newcastle with Gagai out, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If he gets picked, and the Eels only lose Jennings, so I think they're going to be pretty angry next week. And that's a game you probably wouldn't imagine them giving away. But your questions now, as we said before, give it a bit more time because we started a little bit earlier. Luke Tomlin's genuine, honest thoughts on Laurie Daly. If New South Wales get torched this year, will he get the tap on the shoulder?
Oh, he should, because the selections are laughable, I think.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much got the same opinion. If you look at the situation...
live by the sword, die by the sword.
Some of the selections, and yeah, it's a little bit confusing. And as New South Welshman again, we had people going, well, who did you pick? Getting all angry about it.
We've named our sides.
We're all entitled to an opinion and we've picked ours. I hope they somehow pull one from the fire, but it's just...
I agree. I want to be proven wrong. I'll be happy to be proven
wrong. It's the little things again. Like when you see someone like a Wade Graham who stands out like a broken thumb and he's not even considered or he's not mentioned.
Well, he's a form back role for New South Wales.
Just not...
No doubt about it. Not even mentioned. Been back for 4 weeks, so... Yeah.
And he's right up there as well. But
he's not ahead of Wade Graham in form.
You just don't mention him. And the toughness, again, for that arena, he's been playing with a busted AC joint in his ribs. Flanagan said that. Playing needle. And he's still playing well.
Yeah.
So how does that not epitomise exactly what you want your side?
Right, I'll move on. And the next question is...
horse racing legends of turf. Good times. What does Wade Graham need to do? Is there bias in the selection?
Well, there obviously is, because he's a form player.
Yeah. No, there's bias in a lot of things and politics and whatnot.
What does he need to do? I don't know what he can do apart from play well, and he's already doing that.
Yeah. He's playing well. He's got great versatility, cover back row, multiple positions.
His side's winning.
Yeah, they've got to find a way in there. Lockie Angus, his question, do you think any particular teams will struggle over the bye or origin period? Well, your typicals are usually your Melbourne, your Brisbane, your Cowboys that lose the bulk of players.
Well, Brisbane won't.
Cowboys last year.
Cowboys have got great depth.
Yeah. The Cowboys last year with their back rowers and the Tamalolo and their back line found a way to win. And the halves pairing of Ray Thompson, who's very steady, and Jerome Hughes coming in, a great player from the Queensland Cup there, they might find a way to jag a win.
I think it's going to be very hard to pick who's going to strike. I think Melbourne is a glaring.
We're the obvious one because you take our spine. I think Munster helps, but yeah, we don't have the halves depth that the other clubs do. Brisbane get to keep Milford and Hunt and McCulloch, so they get their whole spine plus Kiwi internationals.
The Sharks might struggle a little bit without Maloney and Fifita.
Gallen. So they've got to replace a couple, I suppose.
You're probably looking at those top two teams, Sharks and Storm. And I think Brisbane and Cowboys have got enough depth there to cover it.
They're the three biggest, basically. Those three are the ones you kind of look at. So, yeah, that's the hard thing. Adam Stevenson, is there a bigger grub in league circles? And Rebecca Wilson, with all the news around depression, she brings up dirt on Barber and Four and All in 1 Week.
Yeah, it's not quality journalism.
I can't really remember if she's a rugby league journalist. I said this a couple of weeks ago on something. I can't remember a positive story.
She's the inside back page in the telly. She's written some good stories, and she's... You know, there's no doubt that she can write. She's a good journalist, but it's just more the topic and the agenda that's behind a lot of the stuff.
She's a footy journo. She just hammers it, though.
Well, she's not a... I don't think she's a league journo. She's a sports journo.
She doesn't mind taking a pop, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
she
and that's fine. The thing is, we always give it fire and give it credence. Look, it's pathetic. The fact that she's dredged to that sort of a low... I mean, for me, there's one bigger grub than her, and that's the person who... leaked it.
Released the stuff.
Yeah, and for her to sort of go with it.
The Barber Fecky thing, bringing that up.
And he's right. Adam's got a great point. The fact that if he's depressed and he's struggling already, how does she think that's going to affect his mental state? Ridiculous.
Just don't write about him. Leave him alone. Andrew Wales, how will New South Wales cover for Maloney and Reynolds' defence? They both suck at tackling.
We'll put good back rowers next to him.
Yeah. Basically, your back rower, you have to ride shotgun with him, but I've said this to him here.
And centres.
Message just earlier, and I brought this up, there's basically no way you could have picked the halves combo and been 100% happy in our situation. On the Queensland side, you could have picked fucking five or six players and you would have been happy, even if they got injuries form wise compared to what we're dealing with.
Slip a little F bomb in there, mate.
Andrew Wales again, 100%. Seriously, Dylan Walker, what the F? I think we might
hold. You just said the F bomb. We'll
hold the Dylan Walker thing because I think a lot of people have written that one until the end.
Well, we've already said Dylan. We've already given our thoughts on Dylan Walker.
Yeah, he shouldn't be there.
We think it's rubbish.
There's a bunch of other guys we would have picked before him if you were going to pick a utility. Jordan Palmer, if you could bring one player from the Super League to play for your team, who would you pick and why? Don't pick someone that has already played in the NRL.
Sean O'Loughlin. The other bloke that plays back row there. You like him. Long black hair for St. Helens. Can't think of his name.
I like Wilkin.
Yeah, John Wilkin. He's the other one. John Wilkin, O'Loughlin. O'Loughlin's Wigan, Wilkin's St Helens.
If you're going to say pick it back and pick it forward.
I'd like to see Danny Brough play in the Super League. I think he could have. Callum Watkins, obviously.
Yeah, well, so if you told me pick it back, Watkins would be top of my list. Callum Watkins or Hardacre. But I think he's struggling this year, Hardacre.
He's struggling because no real... the halves have been terrible for
Callum Watkins would be a back I want to see. If you set a forward, I'd prefer Wilkin. Wilkin's a bit older, though. So.
And I would have loved to have seen Sinfield come over and play in his prime.
John Bateman because he's nuts.
Yeah.
He plays a bit of centre-back role. But most importantly, he's just crazy and he's got bad tattoos. So I'm a bit of a fan.
Excellent.
If you're going to pick a half, I'd probably struggle to pick someone. I like the guys.
Brough.
Yeah, well, Brough's the one, but I like some of the French players. I like Tony Guijot.
Maguire in his prime. He's very small. I think, what's the other, the little fella that plays?
Oh, your mate. Burrell.
Yeah, he's sharp. He's sharp. He's very little. So, obviously, the physicality over here would have been challenging.
Well, I'm enjoying it a lot more.
Actually, Peter Sterling, he's said it for years that he thought Rob Burrow could come over here and do quite well. Well, you look at... You know, you're looking at the someone like Luke Brooks. I mean, really, he's a better player than Luke Brooks.
Size-wise, again, I think he's on a completely different level.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to weigh that up in what he's going to give you offensively. Are you willing to put up with it defensively, you know?
Jordan Redrow, why Dylan Walker? Then a Barney's been here. This is what I was talking about earlier. Lachlan, Angus, been in the system for ages, 8th man last year. He knows what Laurie's...
We've
I'm just saying, he knows what Laurie's about, what he expects to play a utility role. Well... I don't know what everyone's in here, but I disagree. He can't play utility role. He's not a 5'8".
He's never played a utility
role. He's not a fullback. He's not a hooker. He can't play in those positions. He's struggling to play at six. He's a centre winger at best, and number one, he can't defend. So you got Wade Graham, Bryce Cartwright. That's about all the credence I need to give it. Jack Bird, Tyron Peachy. There's four guys I would have picked that are genuine utilities or play more positions.
Amanda
and
Pereira.
And can defend. Love the show. Thank you very much. If you had to build a new NRL franchise and could pick any players in the league, who would you pick first and what would you call them?
Oh, excellent.
Well, the pressure's on.
Great question. Well, if you had to build a new NRL franchise, you'd pick any players in the league.
You'd be going for
your, I'd pick first.
You'd be going for your spine. If you wanted me to pick one, like a literal franchise starter, and I had to pick one player right now, it'd be Anthony Milford.
Yeah, I'd go either. I'd probably go Morgan or Milford.
Yeah.
Would be my starting players.
It'd have to be a half right now. If you were going to say
Tedesco,
well, it'd have to be a franchise player. It'd be a 1, a 6, a 7, or a 9. I don't think there's many young nines you'd take.
Jake Friend's
the top of the pops, but I think I'd probably be more looking for a Tedesco or a Milford.
I wouldn't mind having someone like a Wade Graham to play in the back row.
If you're going to go a young, like
a front rower,
James Bromwich, Jesse Bromwich, only a baby, somewhere along that line. If you're going to go those kind of key positions to start a side, Boyd Cordner, he's younger than me.
What would you call them? Shit.
Depends where you're based.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
We got some thoughts on that.
This is one I threw out last year and we didn't do it.
Razorbacks.
At the end of this year, I reckon that's what we'll do, Amanda. And I think it was...
what are we doing?
I can't remember who it was. Sean Chen asked us last year. We didn't really get it. End of this season, I reckon me and you sit down, we come up with a rough figure of what we think players are worth, and we build a franchise each from what's existing in the NRL. And we'll give everyone else an opportunity at the end of the year just for a bit of fun to do the same thing. We want a name, a squad, a proper 20, top 25.
I'll be pretty heavy into wedding planning then, mate. I don't know what
that's all. I'll be all over it.
I'll do it.
I got it. Thanks for that, Amanda. Keep those questions
coming, Amanda.
Aaron Wood, and like I say every week, not Aaron Woods. He's not writing or asking any questions himself. What do players like Leilua or Croker and Rapana have to do to play Origin? And shouldn't Origin be picked on form? Whoa. Not what your last name is or if you're in the New South Wales Boys Club. Well, Rapana's a Kiwi, so he can't be picked. Croker's
defence is
stunk. Defence is horrible.
But Leilua, I could cop.
He's a good player, Croker, but he fixed it for a year or two, but he's gone back to just... He's lost it completely defensively.
Yeah, and you know what? He bitches and whinges a lot.
Can goal kick, can attack, but yeah, defensively champion. Leilua has been absolutely outstanding. But
he's a former centre in the comp at the moment,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he absolutely 100% throw that out there. But yeah, there's plenty of guys, again, if you're looking at form, that should get some recognition and they don't even...
Let's say Ferguson or, has a Barry Crocker, they move Dugan to a wing and they could bring in...
Your other big thing?
But you know what they do? They bring in Josh Morris.
But even at the meetings, this is my thing.
If you're going to train someone on, train Joey Leilua on.
Put some phone calls in, let these players know that they're doing well and you want to see them keep doing. Acknowledge form. Acknowledge your goals.
Well, Leilua didn't even pick for Sydney.
No, that's what I'm saying, but acknowledge these guys. Even if they're not close yet, tell them they're playing well and you've got your eye on them.
Agree.
That's the other issue I've kind of got this whole situation. So, Michael Thompson, do you think it's time... Something you've done about the way players speak to the referee, Greg Bird's effort, they are setting bad examples to young
kids. Yeah, well, I said it. I was watching the game, Titans fan. The Titans should have been penalised for the way that he spoke to the referee, to the touch judge.
I sum this one up. I've done this a couple of times this year. It's very simple. Captain is the only one who speaks to him. Anyone else comes near him or abuses him or goes Premier League style where they charge up to him, it's an automatic penalty.
Well, it should be. And if he keeps going, sin bin.
Yeah, someone gets
5 minute sin bin. I think Brian Canavan's going to bring in a 5 minute sin bin.
Yeah.
So, mate, any ripping of referees,
yeah,
that's the only way. Unacceptable. Everyone's whinging about the fact that there's no respect for referees. There's only one way to get it back.
Yeah, that's it. Dom Coogan, short kickoff seems to work more often than not. Will it ever become common practice or used more often? Well, not in the NRL, I suppose, for the battle of field possession, but I suppose the Ipswich Jets have showed you. If you can perfect the art and find the sideline,
well, they're not going real well this year, are they? They've lost a lot of players, but
that's
not
all.
Going real well
yeah,
this year.
Well, they got absolutely pillaged.
Look, I think. It's the same as taking the two. You've either got to do it all the time or you don't
do it at all. You need to put the work into it, though. Like Ipswich perfected that in more than one fashion. They weren't doing the rugby union style kick. They could find.
But it also, if the team then moves players up onto the line, it then opens up the kick to the touch or deep or whatever. So it just.
Mainly champion, it's for the yardage battle, though, on possession. They try to get these torpedo style kicks like Felt puts in now because you get errors and you get them deep and a slow start and try and grind a side out and get better field position. Darren Skews, forget Wade Graham not being picked for Origin. The poor guy didn't even get a run for City. Surely he has to be pissed off. Well, he pulled out of City's selection because of his ribs and whatnot, mate. But the fact he hasn't even been given a mention, like we said, for Australia I thought he should have got a mention or a look in, let alone for a state at the minimum. For New South Wales, it should be a walk-up start.
Yeah.
But the Australian thing, fine, when you got the full card, but the fact he can't even get a run for New South Wales is... it's dumbfounding. There is something... Rob Carter, there is nothing better than seeing a winger flying through the air to score a try, so why do the referees allow attacking players to be constantly run off the ball? It shits me to tears.
Well, the one on the weekend that was ridiculous was the Roosters player that was penalised for being taken out.
Well, the problem, and I've said this every week...
I think it was Ferguson,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I say this every week and I'll say it again, that they penalised one of 50 of them, just like...
But that wasn't Ferguson's fault.
Yeah, but you know my problem, again...
He's cut across the line right in front of him to protect the player trying to catch the ball. Ferguson's going for the ball, he only had eyes for the ball.
But my issue, and I bring it up again with this rule, is they penalise one of 50, much the same as when they make one guy play the ball in the mark, when it happens 50, 60 times in a game. Don't stop one, stop all of them, or just prison rules. Like, just it shits me to tears again. Just... Dylan Walker, why? Again, Cameron Patmore, honestly, don't pay too much attention to him. Is he an Origin player or will he play Origin? Well, it looks like he's going to play, but the utility role, he shouldn't be there as a utility. It's ridiculous.
To me, and I don't want to throw barbs out there when I'm not informed, but Bob Fulton, Manly, Dylan Walker.
Well, let's put it this way.
Doesn't look good.
I hope by some miracle he proves wrong and scores a game winner, but the fact that, like I said, the names you've thrown
out... even if he does, I'm not interested in a game winner. I'm interested in his game overall.
Yeah, but literally, there's four or five guys that should have been playing that utility role before him that, and like, again, Wade Graham, he couldn't even get a start on the side if he can't start in the back row. Paul Skews, can you see the Warriors going on the usual Origin run?
Probably. Mate,
even if they do, it's not going to make a difference to their season. To be honest.
While everyone's weakened, of course they're going to play better, but
it's not going to make a difference in the big outcome of things, unfortunately, for the Warriors fans. Now we move on to Twitter. See what we've got on here. There's a lot of stuff on Dylan Walker again. the subject of the day, that's got a lot of people going. Michael, could you name a Blues side for 2020, judging on what you see coming to the grades and already playing first grade? Oh, it's a big ask to be picking a kid out of the 18s or the 20s.
Well, you think your Moylan Tedesco would be there?
I'd say that Tedesco, Mansour's still young enough, James Roberts is still young enough, Tom Trbojevic,
Bird,
Trbojevic. Johnston's still only 21, 22. Does he have that ability? I don't know quite, but he's played for Australia. Halves, I think if you looked at our options right now, Caesar and Austin are probably our two younger or better ones.
Mm.
Townsend coming through the younger grades. I think Tyron May and these kind of guys, if you want to talk 20s, but that's a long way away.
Cleary, yeah.
Hooker, we've got basically nothing besides Nathan Peets, which is pretty sad for us. Back row, I think Graham, Corden is still young, Frizzell's still young, Cartwright, there's still plenty of guys there. Jacob Host is a young guy in the 20s, Mitch Barnett, Nat Butcher at the Roosters, Locke, Merrin, Jack Bird, Jake Trbojevic, Finucane, Props, Boydie, Vorney, McLean, Regan, Campbell, Gillard. So that's probably more guys that are playing grade that I could see getting a run. And on to the next one we have. Gavin, the blocking rule. Totally different interpretations Sunday and Monday. What the F?
Agreed. I can't work it out. But it's pretty clear cut, I think. If you change your line and you're not going for the ball, it should be a penalty.
Yep. Dave at Butsy, gents, how do we watch and interact with the post pod recording you do?
Facebook Live.
I have no idea what that
is. So jump on the Facebook page. It should pop. If you're following us, it should pop up in your feed. I'll give you a warning. We'll put up a warning status about 15 minutes before we're going to open it. And then it's just, jump onto the page and it's on live.
Yeah, well.
And you interact. You just put comments down the bottom, ask a question, it pops up to us and we'll answer it.
Yeah.
Easy. But we're still teething through it. It'll get better and obviously more efficient the further we go along.
All right. Well, that's everything from that side of things. We've done the Fast Five. We've given best, worst, high, low, our questions, reviewed the games from the weekend, and obviously answered all your questions. So now it is time for us to have Mr. Gossip on. You said you were looking forward to it mainly just to see how he feels about the Panthers situation.
Yeah, another close loss.
And Kaizen Sports, mate, you were week three last night, was it?
Week three last night, yeah. Very good. Yeah, we had Luke Prittis down last night, who's the ambassador for the program. He threw his 2 cents worth in, which was good. It's getting better every week.
Kaizen Sports Performance is providing a 10-week rugby league skill-based academy for players aged 12 to 17 in the Western Sydney District. Running on Monday nights, Kaizen understands that all athletes physically develop differently, although in order to progress to higher levels in rugby league, There needs to be a strong foundation of skill. Players will be exposed to a number of high-performance coaches to coach the highest level of skill development. The Kaizen 10-Week Academy is the perfect program for aspiring players to learn from the best, to be the best they can be. For inquiries, go with kaizensports.com.au or check them out on Facebook at Kaizen Sports Performance. Kaizen is spelled K-A-I-Z-E-N. So live read for Kaizen there. Good stuff, Box said. Next, we will be joined by Mr. Gossip. We'll get anything he's got, maybe a little bit of origin talk, and do our tips and give you the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. Now, it's time for your weekly dose of goss from Mr. Gossip. Mr. Gossip is back and heartbreak, mate. The Panthers, they've done it to you again. Oh, no.
It was always going to happen, wasn't it? With 10 to go, you knew they were going to do something. And Titans, they were good.
What's the deal, though? Seriously, they love a close game. And like we said last week, just causing stress and anxiety.
It's between the ears, mate. It's all mental, I think. It's got to be.
I was a bit dumbfounded. And then the odds blew me away during the week. We said it last week. The 12.5 starter, even the 10.5 line, was very, very generous. But well, I thought Penrith would get the job done in a close one. But another close game and another loss.
Yeah, if they were young halves, you could understand. But
they're not.
You know, very experienced halves. You know, they both won a competition, both of them. They both played Origin. So they should be able to close the game out. But I don't know. It's between the ears. Something's going on there. Hook's got to pull his finger out and mentally prepare them, I think.
Yeah. Hard times. But Gossip, mate, it's obviously a bit quiet around this time of year, but is there anything in the pipe? And please don't say anything about Jarryd Hayne. I'm over that.
No. I'm on the Hayne ban. No more Jarryd Hayne. I'm sick of it. I've got hundreds of emails of everybody saying where he's going to go. I really don't give a shit, so I'm not even going to mention his name, to be honest. So,
thank God.
I'll go straight to Conrad Hurrell. We've been talking about him all year about
he's going to the UK.
Titans. Well, the Titans have gone cold on him, and thank God. I'm happy for that. But Hull KR, they seem very interested. James Webster, who's the coach over there,
his brother
is the assistant coach at the Warriors. Mm. So there is a bit of a tie there, and Hull KR are very keen on him. So I'm happy for that. He can nick off to England.
So his brother's stitching him up. That'd be like Brock giving me a rubber that's got a pinprick in it and going, here you go use that. That's about the standard of brotherly love right there.
That might have been done previously.
He's just going, you know what, this bloke, he's a dead set drop kick over here, but he'll kill it over there and he'll be a good sideshow as well, so get on board.
Yeah, as you said, he probably will. He'll probably kill it over there, and I'm just happy to have him out of the NRL.
Well, they'll let him drink and do whatever he wants over there. That's probably the only upside. Nothing will get brought up, but yeah, I'd be very surprised if any NRL side, with the standards they hold their players to, won a bar of him. So, yeah, that's of no great surprise, I guess.
It's just it's such a waste of talent. He's got so much talent. He's got the IQ of a fence post. So it's disappointing.
Yeah, waste of talent, no doubt about it. Plenty of potential, but yeah, NRL side's going to go near him. So have fun in the Super League, Connie, if that is the GR.
Yeah, I'm happy the Titans have gone cold on him.
Yeah, yep. That's smart.
Cool. Still on the Warriors, boys, and everyone's favourite Warriors player, Manu Vadabai, is definitely on the outer there. I'm hearing he's off to Japanese rugby. I know the Warriors released a press release, I believe, this morning saying it was untrue. But that is total garbage. I'm pretty confident that he'll be gone.
Yeah, well, I got a bit of mail similar to what you're going on about, that Ken Marmolo, who my mob, the Storm, were interested in, they knocked a request back for us to get him mid-year, and then he was supposed to join the Dragons or Canberra. Both were in for him, and I think the Dragons got the nod, and the Warriors backflipped on that last minute last week. So that should probably you know, sum up just about everything going. If he's playing New South Wales residents the other week and scored a hat-trick and in really good form, and all of a sudden they've pulled the pin on him leaving, so he must be looking to get upgraded or move into Manu's spot there.
Yeah,
he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Nah.
Probably a smart move for Manu. He'll cash in over there.
Yeah, he really should. Oh, yeah. And after that incident and whatnot, and Marmolo's a beast as well, and they've got some good young outside backs, Fussy Tour and the like, so...
Yeah, it'll probably probably find Manu will go right in Union. Bit of change of scenery.
They probably dodge
a little bit comfortable.
They probably dodge a bullet too, though. He's got bad knees. He's 30 and he's
on massive
and point, he's on a big contract till 2018, so keep him backflipping on the Marmolo thing. I think all signs point to exactly what you just said, mate.
Yep. All right, boys, and the last one for the night... James Tarmow, I said a couple of weeks ago that he was off to Penrith. That could still be on the cards. He did agree to terms with Gus Gould, but hasn't put pen to paper. But the Cowboys players rallied around him, begged him to stay, all that sort of garbage, as we've seen before. And in fact, Jonathan Thurston did the same thing to Penrith, where he agreed to terms with Penrith, then pulled out the last minute. Tarmow may go down that road, so... I think it's 50-50 at this stage, but I think Tarmow's got some talking to do to his missus, so I think she's the one that wants to move to Sydney.
Well, Gussie needs to make sure that once he gets someone to agree to terms, he needs to get pen to paper. Because what's the cooling? There's a cooling off period now, isn't there? What, 10 days?
That's correct.
So.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
it's like a bloody house contract.
Well, it's not. It's yeah, exactly. Which that's any sort of binding contract has to have a cooling off period.
I reckon lock it in, Eddie.
No, I mean the thing is, if he's agreed to terms, that's not the contract.
No, agreeing to terms is me and you sit down and you say 750, and I get this, and he's got this.
Yeah, you agree on principle.
That's
you haven't signed it.
That's nothing to a paper.
So you're not. It's not legally binding.
No, that's what I'm saying. Agreeing to terms
is it's a verbal agreement between two parties.
Correct.
Basically.
Agreeing to terms could be out of the phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Gus needs to make sure that if he's going to do your best work when you got him sitting next to you.
Yeah. I tell you what.
And get him to sign.
Those blocks of land up at North Queensland must be going for a bargain rate or something if they can find the money to keep him. Either that or he's taking a giant pay cut, which I highly doubt. They can't keep everybody. They can't keep everybody. There's a bit of a Brisbane situation starting to occur in North Queensland. Bit suspect, if you ask me.
Everywhere is suspect.
I guess it's good news for fans. I guess if he doesn't sign, then that frees up the cash to re-sign Mansour and Peachy. But Mansour would often be asking quite a bit now. He's a Kangaroo and now a Blue, so wouldn't be cheap.
Different situation, I guess. They've still got to weigh up a look at the junior situation and the depth they've got there. That's the big thing for Penrith over the next couple of years. Do they keep pushing players through, or they're pretty well served in a lot of areas? But interesting to see what happens with the Tarmow situation. That's everything, is it, champion?
That's it, Sonny Jim.
Well, mate, in the tips, massive turnaround. I've just said it to Brock. He's dropped a few to you the last 2 weeks, and now you're even. He had a 5-point lead on you. You've jagged 5 back. You got 6 last week to move to 60. Brock got 4. He's also on 60. I've pulled 2 back on him. I'm on 57, so I'm still the cellar dweller, but things just got interesting.
I've shit the bed a little bit.
You sure have.
That's all right. That's all right.
And now it gets messy around Origin period. It's very hard to
Now it's very...
out from the boys.
Yeah, this is dirt time right here. If you can jag one or two, you've done something right, because it gets ugly. And we're going to do our tips now on all the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. The first game we have is the Broncos and the Tigers. Friday night, the Broncos lucky enough that a few of their players decide to get on the Cowns and get banned. So Benny Hunt and Milford are obviously both there. They've still got Roberts, Reed, Kahu, Greg Eden goes on a wing. Maranta comes in on a wing. Offa Hengawi pushes in the front row with Blair and Glenn, and Wallace gets a start. But a couple of debutants, Davita Pengai Jr., the monster junior kangaroo for the last 1,000 years from Canberra, he gets his first game. Jai Arrow, the gun Corey Parker clone, gets his second game. And Jaden Sewer, who was the man of the match in the Junior Kangaroo Kiwis game a couple of weeks ago, absolute gun. He's getting a start in the back row on debut. So big, big raps on him. On the Tigers side of things, Aaron Woods is the only player out. And obviously last week they didn't have Robbie Farah, Naguama, and Suaso Sue are back in. Gentlemen, I'm tipping the Broncos.
Yeah, Broncos. Tigers.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go the Broncos. I say it every week. Woods is so valuable to that side. Without him, they really lose a lot of go forward.
Tigers are shit.
That's right. They are. Oh, it's so good. You didn't even go in and give a real... I just say it everywhere. As soon as I don't see Tedesco's name, I'm basically off.
Yeah, you got Jordan Rankin at 4, mate.
Tedesco's worth 12 points on his own. Because if he's not scoring one or two, he's setting the ones up. Yeah. So And these,
well, I apologise, Tigers fans, but
yeah, but mate, when, as soon as you see Milford and Hunt's names still there, but you look throughout their side, even taking those blokes out, Wallace would start in a lot of teams. Glenn was on the bench last week. Blair, offhand Gowie's gone another level.
Let's face it, if they're ever going to beat Brisbane, here's your chance.
The spine's enough. McCulloch's a rep standard player, so are their halves, and Carhu's a gun at fullback. So the spine they've got in place is well and truly good enough.
On paper, Brisbane will be winning, and because the Tigers are bad at football.
They're bad at football, as he says. I'm really looking forward to seeing Sua and Penguy play, but I love Jai Arrow. And Wayne Bennett, give him more minutes this time, you jerk.
I think Wayne Bennett organised a drink up for these boys at the Junior Origin camp to make sure that they didn't get selected or they broke curfew. He's smart coaching by Wayne.
Yeah, good Wayne. QAS, he said, here you go, here's some free drink cards, go out.
Yeah, boys.
Oh, God, bang.
A couple of cap charges.
Yeah.
And the Tigers made the night look half decent last week, that says something.
Yeah, that's exactly all you need. That's right. All you need to know. And like I said, these kids that he loaded up on, they're not just 20s kids coming through. These blokes are first grade standard players.
Correct.
So with William Hill, they are heavy favourites, even with the Origin players out. $1.25 the Broncos, $4 about the Tigers, -12. That's massive. 1-12 Broncos, $3.05, $6 Tigers, 13 plus, $1.95, $12 the Tigers. If you like the Tigers with a start, 12.5. $1.82 or the 12 flat is $1.91. Saturday, the Dragons versus the Cowboys. And in this one, you see Benji Marshall return, Joel Thompson returns, and Kurt Mann, Josh Dugan, Tyson Frizzell out. But I'm guessing Frizzell gets cut, so he probably comes back in, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
He's done it again. He's picked Jacob Hoste, who was awesome in Cup and he didn't even give a minute to. So I'm hoping there's a different situation there. But Nightingale's been named at fullback. Mann's on a wing. Benji and Widdop back together. Rain, Marquetta on the back row. And then you look at the Cowboys side of things. Massive changes, obviously. James Tarmout, Matt Scott, Michael Morgan, Justin O'Neill, Jonathan Thurston. 7,000 players, but pretty stable halves pairing with Ray Thompson and Jerome Hughes, who's killed it the last 2 years in Q Cup. Cootie's still at fullback, a decent back line. Hennett and Bolton with the front row with Cooper, Lowe, Taumalolo. Again, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm tipping the Cowboys.
I'm going to tip the Dragons, but I've got no idea who wins this game.
Yeah, I'm willing to back them.
It's a tough one to pick. I'm going to go to the Dragons, only because last time these teams played, the Cowboys gave them an absolute hiding. The Dragons are already hurting after that, so they've been looking for some blood. And yeah, that's a lot of players out.
Well, you get a free roll at a top four side.
I'd love to say that the Cowboys don't have points in it, but I have more confidence in their spine generating points than I do in the Dragons.
Yeah, I'm not arguing.
Which is the sad part.
I think it's
part.
A 50-50 game.
That's the sad part.
Flip a coin.
With a different pair of halves and your front row is missing.
And I think the Cowboys are only 1-2 out of 5 away from home this year. So.
And the bench, even with the players changing, I love Cohen Hess. He comes back in. And Paddy Kafusi's been doing a great job as well.
Yeah.
So with them and Asiata, I still think they've got a better bench than the Dragons do with their replacement.
I'm not arguing with that.
Oh, I'm just saying. It's amazing to think how good that squad is.
We've given that rubbish game too much time.
Much like the Brisbane side, but with William Hill, the Dragons are $1.80 favourites, the Cowboys $2, -1.5 is the line there. 1-12 for the Dragons is $3.20, 1-12 for the Cowboys $3.30, 13 plus is the Dragons $4, $4.25 about the Cowboys. Sunday, the Canberra Raiders play the Bulldogs down there, GIO Stadium. The only change for them is Papali, but they get a massive inclusion in Sia Solioli. He's a great player, and they get Fenson back in. So Clay Priest moves to 18th man, Bateman back to the bench. On the flip side, David Clemmer, Josh Jackson out. Desi's named Josh Morris, so I think he may already have the inside word that he's not going to be playing Origin, which we suspected. For them, Adam Elliott and Denny Fualo both come in on the bench. They were okay last week. Papali going out doesn't really change a lot for Canberra, and I think Canberra need to win this game to get away from that little logjam of teams on 5 with their draw, so I'm going to tip the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders.
Yeah, but they're just on the Raiders, aren't they? They need a bit of momentum. I'll get them.
No one's really out for either side, is there? So.
No, well, Papali, but Solioli was massive for Canberra coming straight back in.
Yeah, that's
and,
big.
And they've got the forwards. And then Jackson and Clemmer, they put a couple of guys on the bench in Fualo and Elliott. Elliott hasn't played a lot of minutes. Fualo, neither. So, realistically there, I'm basically looking at the bench, making the big difference for the Canberra Raiders in this one. And the odds for that, they're $1.70 favourites with William Hill, the Raiders, $2.15 are the Dogs, -2.5 the line, 1-12, $3.25 Canberra, $3.85 Dogs. 13 plus, $3.30 Canberra, $4.65 Dogs. And the last game of the round, everyone's favourite, Newcastle. Cousin Gary, respect to you and your fantastic rugby league team that is the Newcastle Knights.
Your fantastic New South Wales Cup team.
Yeah. Even though Dan Gagai will be the only one playing Origin, they still have a million changes. Brock Lamb is out. Jack Stockwell is out. Corey Guinness is in. Barner in. Feeney in. Matauti are in. And Mataura in. 19-man squad again. Memo's at fullback. Ross pushes into the centres to cover for Gagai. Feeney in the halves with Hodkinson. Changes are plenty for the Newcastle Knights. On the Parramatta side of things, only Jennings goes out. Tautai goes in. I said that they would have beat most sides with the way they played last night, besides Melbourne, because of their defence. Parramatta will destroy them.
Yep, they will. Eels.
I can't think the Knights any time of the year. They look terrible, don't they? I'm really worried about their young guys too. Brownie puts them in, they get thumped, and then he drops them and then brings new guys in. It just seems to be destroying everyone's confidence up there. So
the revolving door.
They're going to get a lot worse before they get better.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, New South Wales Cup, they're copping the same treatment. They copped another 30-point shellacking on the weekend, and the Tigers blooded a couple of their good 20s kids that have showed form after the SG ball season. Three or four of them went up, scored tries, and dominated against their cup players. So.
Well, and they're the defending premiers in New South Wales
Cup.
Yeah,
it's really not helping their situation, but I think he's doing the right thing. They've got not much else they can do. They're screwed salary cap-wise for another 18 months, but the odds with WilliamHill.com, $3.50 outsiders are the Knights, $1.30 favourites, the Parramatta Eels, -10.5 is the line, 1-12, $5.50 the Knights, $2.95 the Eels, 13 plus $11 the Knights, $2.10 the Eels. Looking at the tips, we're all on the Broncos, we're all on the Raiders, we're all on the Eels. The only difference of opinion, the Dragons, I can see where you guys are coming from, but I'm hoping that the Cowboys can somehow find a way.
No, I think that's the game that's the most open, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I think the Dogs could still win as well, but I'm going to back Canberra at home on a Sunday.
I just don't want to think about that.
In daylight, I'm expecting them to throw the footy around, but all those odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. Gossip, before we let you go, champion, Origin, what's your opinion on the squad? And are you happy with it? Are you disappointed like a few people? Is there anything you would change?
I think it's positive, the halves. I really like the halves combination he's got. But it looks like Loz has gone for an attacking team, which surprises me a little bit when you have the first game of the day and then Stadium on a Wednesday night that's usually dewy and cold. So I don't quite understand his tactics, but that's why I'm here and he's the coach. So I'll be supporting them. But yeah, there's a couple of selections there that I wouldn't have gone for. But as I said, I'm very happy with the halves. I think that's the right call.
Yeah, well, I think we said earlier, there's a few things we don't agree with, mainly in the forward side of things, but we're always going to support our team. We support our team.
Oh.
Well, I'm hoping for a dead set miracle, but let's be honest, if we lose game one, we're screwed.
Yeah, I had a look at the Courier Mail today and looked at a lot of the Queensland press today, and they are absolutely giving it to the New South Wales selection, which could be a good thing, I think. Everyone's with severe underdogs. So who knows? Queensland got a new coach. They could just bite them
on
the
ass. Yeah, well, their side gets named at 8:15. It's almost 8 o'clock now, but we already know what the changes are. They've already flown into Brisbane Airport. Justin O'Neill will get one centre spot on debut. Corey Oates will be on one wing on debut. Gagai keeps his spot. Maguire comes back in. So 15 blokes that have played for them before, two debutants, nothing different there. So no surprises, but the odds for that one with William Hill, it's still obviously a week away, but they're both $1.90 pick 'em at the moment. 1-12 for both sides, 280, 550s for 13 plus. The overs unders for the Origin game, 34.5. That's pretty much on the money, I think. So interesting to see as that rolls around, but I think we'll have a more in-depth chat about Origin. We haven't quite figured out yet, either Sunday night or Monday night we'll have an Origin podcast out there. But for now,
Keithy, gossip. Hey.
Thanks, Charb.
No worries, boys. Enjoy the weekend.
See you, man.
Well, that basically wraps us up for this week. A big thanks to Mr. Gossip from NRL Gossip. You can find him on Facebook at NRL Gossip, and his Twitter handle is at NRL Gossip. And a big thanks to WilliamHill.com for them being on board as our major sponsor. Our charity bet last week, Boxhead. We nailed it.
We did. Stole 1-12. We're almost up to $1,200.
Our poor cousin, he had a massive multi worth $2,500 riding on the Storm 13+.
Michael Gordon's kick burned him.
our charity bet. 1 to 12 got us that $235, and I had cows 1 to 12 in a Storm 1 to 12, so my $100 is a lot sweeter right now than his 2.5. Sorry, cousin Al.
Correctamundo.
Sorry, champ, but this week, what are we going with? It's very, very ugly as far as charity bets are concerned, looking at the short round.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
We're going to hold it for Origin?
No, we're going to have one for Origin regardless.
Yeah, all right, well... Oh, I've got to think about this. This is real, real ugly. So I like, to be honest, I like the North Queensland game. If not, it's Parramatta 13 plus at 210.
Yeah, we can do that.
So
yeah, that's a good bet. That's a great bet.
There's two options here. We get Parramatta 13 plus at 210, or we're going North Queensland.
Parramatta 13 plus.
Well, Parramatta 13 plus at $2.10 is what we'll be going. Canberra's even, but I don't want to fiddle with that one.
I would. I'd go to Canberra.
At $1.70.
Yep.
Well, you want to multi it then?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, well, we'll multi that one. Canberra at $1.70, straight up to win, into Parramatta 13 plus at $2.10. $3.57, so we'd be taking home $257 after the stake.
Woo!
Well, there you go. We'll let it ride. Origin, what are we thinking? I know we're not there yet. We're basically know what the team's going to be, and we already know the Queensland.
It's all in for New South Wales. This is it. This is a series.
Yeah, but
if they win this...
If me and you are going to have a choice, what are you betting on?
New South Wales 1 to 12, I'll bet on.
Yeah, I'm thinking Queensland 1 to 12.
Or we can just go either team to win by 1 to 12.
But, yeah, all right. If that's available.
Yeah, or either team by less than 6.5, I think is probably a good bet.
Yeah, all right. We'll get the odds when we do our preview, but I just thought that might be an idea for now. A big thanks again, like we said, williamhill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure it is with William Hill. Kaizen Sports. Massive thanks to them, and Rugby League Coaching Manual. As a Rugby League coach, you have many different jobs. Some include being a mentor, a teacher, a leader, a counsellor, and a drill sergeant. One of the most important roles as a coach is getting the best out of your players. If you are there to get the best out of your players, who is there to get the best out of you as a coach? Let me tell you, it's Rugby League Coaching Manual. They've been providing educational material to coaches since 1993 through their flagship publications, Coach Talk, DVDs and drill books. All of this material is now available online for your very own RLCM membership, which gives you access to hundreds of articles and videos on coaching rugby league. In addition to this, you also receive access to online courses, an invitation to the monthly coaching webinar, plus a new edition of Coach Talk every month. To start your 30-day free trial, just visit rlcm.com.au and join as a foundation member today. Thank you, William Hill. Thank you, Kaizen Sports. And thank you very much, Rugby League Coaching Manual. That wraps us up for another week. You've got the reviews, our Fast Five, our questions. We answered yours. And obviously, the short and round and Origin around the corner. A little bit painful football-wise now, but fingers crossed, New South Wales and everyone out there that supports them like we do, that we can win Game 1 and have some hope in this series. Because if we don't win Game 1, we are in big trouble. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your Rugby League.
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.